This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Thanks to Angela Tibbetts-Johnson for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. Last month, Cincinnati City Manager Harry Black released his proposed city biennial budget for fiscal years 2016 and 2017. Now, after holding public hearings and listening to citizen comments, council members are discussing possible changes to the proposed budget, with the full council scheduled to vote on the final spending plan June 17th. WVXU City Hall reporter Jay Hanselman has been following this story and attended all the public hearings on the proposed budget, and he joins us for a rundown on how the city plans to spend and save in the next budget cycle. Hi, Jay, and I think you wanted to weigh in on the sports that's got you going.
No, I was just going to say the last time I was here, we were talking about March Madness.
Right.
And I was cheerleading for UK to go 40-0. That really worked out well.
But you are not like many fans. You're not a fair weather fan.
No,
you're not going to jump off the UK bandwagon because
of
that.
But I'm also not going to wear a 38-1 t-shirt, so. So, but this one, I'm not cheerleading for anybody, so I'm just here to answer questions.
Yes, you are. And step us through the city's budget process. How does this typically work?
Typically, what happens about 6 months before the city manager releases his proposed budget, the department heads will put together their list of budget requests. And as you might imagine, the requests exceed the amount of money available. And so the manager and his budget staff, work for about 6 months to draft the budget. They release their plan, and by the city charter, the budget is actually presented to the city's mayor. And the mayor has 15 days under the charter to review it, make any changes, and send it on to city council.
Now, the time frame has changed, too, because it used to be that the budgets in Cincinnati were crafted during the month of December, weren't they?
That's right. Cincinnati was on a calendar year budget, and the last calendar year budget was 2012. And starting in July of 2013, then the city switched to a fiscal year budget. So now the budget year runs July 1st to June 30th. And actually, the state legislature had to approve that change because most municipalities run on a calendar year budget. And the city decided that it was easier to have a fiscal year budget because some of their funding is reliant on state funding, which is a fiscal year.
A fiscal year budget.
And it was hard to sync up the two because you were kind of budgeting, not knowing what the state was going to do 6 months later when you were putting together your budget.
And now they match the state, so it's easier for them.
Right, now they're matched up.
So does this new schedule seem to be working pretty well for the city?
I think people seem to like it, and especially if it's going to be a bad news budget like the last couple of years when there were talk of layoffs, I think the last thing city officials wanted to be doing was talking about layoffs during the holiday season in December and people wondering, after Christmas into the new year, am I going to have a job or not? And so that's kind of shifted that away. And for in the last couple of years, the budget has improved that there have been no talk of layoffs. But that was one of the things that it's moved at the if you're going to have bad news, let's put it in June instead of in December.
Now, what's the budget shaping up to look like this year?
One thing that was there's a couple things that were different this year. This is new city manager Harry Black's first one, biennial budget. He wasn't here when last year's one-year budget. They basically update the budget, but he wasn't here for that last year. He started in September. So this is his first full-fledged budget. And one other thing that was the last few years, as you're well aware, there were always large deficits that had to be closed. Mm-hmm. And this time around, there was a small deficit. I think the city spokesperson told me it was give or take a couple of $1 million. But that's certainly a whole lot better than where it used to be.
Tens of millions.
Oh, yeah. You were talking 20, 30. I think there was even one time it was pushing $50 million that had to be closed in a deficit. So that didn't happen this time. And also this time, I said that, the process is the manager has 15 days, or the mayor, excuse me, has 15 days to review the budget. This year, the manager released his budget on May the 13th. And the mayor included a letter with that packet immediately transmitting it on to city council. So there was no delay. Once the manager proposed it, it went straight to city council with the mayor's blessing.
Now, the city's pension's always been a trouble spot for Cincinnati, as it is for a lot of major cities. Now, is that issue taken care of now?
It's all but finalized. All the parties have signed off shortly after John Cranley took office as mayor. He worked with federal judge Michael Barrett to set up basically a collaborative style process to – there had been some federal lawsuits concerning the city's pension system, and they kind of consolidated all those and decided that they would come up with a court settlement to take care of those and provide stability for most everybody involved. And that process concluded at the end of last year, and I believe the document was signed in early, it was either late April or early May of this year. I think the judge still has to approve it. But for the city, what that has done is for the next 30 years, their annual required contribution to the pension system is set. It can't be changed. The city, they know what it's going to be at 16% of payroll, and for the next 30 years, councils and the mayor will have to put that in the budget, unless there is an option that if there is a financial crisis like a few years ago, they could go back to court and renegotiate that. But for the stability wise, the city knows it's going to be 16% of payroll for the next 30 years, and then that's one item that they don't have to worry about whether it will fluctuate when they're putting together the budget.
So does this really fix things with the pension? I mean, 5 years down the road, they're not just going to suddenly say, yeah, this isn't working, and we're in trouble again.
If there are problems, it has to go back through court. It's just not someone in the group can't unilaterally say, you know, the city can't unilaterally say, well, 16% of the payroll is too much, I'm only going to do 10%. If they do that, the other parties in the lawsuit are going to haul them back into federal court. Now, they could negotiate a change, but even critics of Mayor John Cranley seem to think that this is a win-win for the city when it comes to the pension fix. Now, the proof will be in, there are a lot of things that go into the pension. As you and I were talking off the air, a lot of that depends on investment performance. If there were suddenly a $7,000 drop in the stock market, then that's going to make some adjustments to the pension system.
Yeah, so whatever percentage they're using to calculate this out, they have to be very careful with that, and they also have to be careful with what's in that portfolio and make sure that they take good care of that, because that's always the wild card in the whole thing, it seems like, with a lot of these cities that get in trouble over this particular issue.
Correct.
Now, the city manager's proposal is based on five strategic priorities, mm-hmm. Okay? And what are those priorities? What are his priorities, and how does his budget address each of these areas?
These priorities, he and his staff had a retreat. I believe it was in either in December or early January. All the department heads got together and had a retreat, and they came out of that with these five areas that they were going to focus on. And part of that, one of those goals was safer streets. That largely deals with police and fire. The city is committed to have 1,024 police officers and 850 firefighters. And with retirements, that pretty much guarantees that there will be a police recruit class and fire recruit class for at least the next several years to maintain those numbers. That was one goal. Another was thriving and healthy neighborhoods. Probably the biggest change there that is attractive to the neighborhoods, they all receive neighborhood support money, and each neighborhood gets an amount of money. The manager asked that be increased by $2,000 per neighborhood. So that's $2,000 more for each of the city's 52 neighborhoods to do projects. He's also going to do a grant program where neighborhoods can apply for programs that the manager hopes will bring people together. That's the theme of the grant. The third initiative was a growing economy, and that's simply funding current economic development projects are already underway, like the banks or the new Mercy facility in Bond Hill. And that's also funding new projects that are in the pipeline to grow the city's tax base. Innovative government. I believe Tuesday you had the city manager on with the new director of performance and data analytics, and that's to basically each department now has a set of goals to meet, and this performance, and they actually have a data lab where they will test things to try to figure out new ways for the Cincinnati government to do things that save money and improve efficiency. And then the last part of that, one of his last goals was fiscal sustainability and strategic investment, and that's where the capital acceleration program comes in.
Now, you were talking about the Cincinnati economy. Does the city manager think the economy is a bright spot for the city, and that's one of the things that's helping the budget in particular?
He does, and the UC confirmed that. They always have a study done to predict the city's revenues for the upcoming budget year, and the manager said at the time when he released the budget that the economy had improved enough that they had increased the amount of income tax collections that they anticipate in this new budget by 3.7%. And that income tax number is important because that's more than 70% of the money that it takes to run the government. And again, they're optimistic that that's going to be up just about 4% in this budget year.
Now, there's a new element in this. It's called the Capital Appreciation Program. Jay, what is that? Why is there a need for this particular?
This was something that Mayor John Cranley had challenged the new city manager in his State of the City address to do, which was, I think the manager had been on the job about 2 weeks when this was sprung on him. But Mayor Cranley was concerned about the condition of the city streets and potholes and
as many of us are. Yeah.
And so basically what Harry Black is proposing is to borrow additional money. And that money will be used for a couple of things. First, it will, right now the city has a goal of paving about 100 to 110 lane miles per year of city streets. This capital acceleration program would increase that to about 150 to 160 lane miles a year. There would also be money set aside for preventative maintenance for the streets that may not be need to be repaved. There would be more routine maintenance on those streets to keep them in better condition. And the other thing is to upgrade the city's fleet. And right now, about 60% of the vehicles in the city's fleet are out of life cycle, meaning they are past what is supposed to be their useful life. And so that would be a five-year plan to begin updating the city's fleet. Now, the only pushback on this to do this, the city has to essentially borrow or bond more money to do that. And Harry Black said at the time that he introduced the budget that Cincinnati has been starving itself. Most cities will have about, from according to him, 65 to 70% of borrowed money and then 30% cash when they're paying for these projects. Cincinnati is the reverse. Cincinnati has been using like 65 to 70% cash and then borrowing the difference. So the manager is proposing to issue bonds to bring that number closer to about 50-50. So about when you go out to do a project, you would about have half the money in cash and then half of that would be borrowed.
I guess also the city manager has kind of laid this out as a pay me now or pay me later kind of proposition, hasn't he?
Correct. It's going to have to be done sometime. So do you want to pay to do it now or do you want to wait 5 to 10 years and pay to do it then when everyone seems to agree it will be more costly to do it then? Now, there has been some pushback on the fact that it seems like all council members agree that upgrading the fleet is important and borrowing money to do that, they're okay with. There is a little question of whether the return on investment to borrow additional money to pave streets is necessarily in the city's best interest. And five council members have signed a motion asking for a 3-month delay in the CAP program so they can study two things to see how much debt is the city comfortable with. I mean, the manager is proposing something like 50-50. I think some council members want to get comfortable if they want to take on that additional debt. And then they also want to say, you know, what are our priorities? And, you know, it could be that paving streets is a priority. There has been some mention. There's a potential ballot issue, I believe, next year for preschool promise for universal preschool in the city or in even Hamilton County. And there's some thought that perhaps the city could, you know, bond that money and use some of it to build facilities for these preschools. So that's something that I think the fleet part is okay. The part about the road repaving right now is a little bit up in the air.
So it's not a given that the capital appreciation program is going to become a reality.
I think it's a given that it's going to become a reality for the fleet. I'm not sure that that at least at this point, there's at least a little bit of resistance to do the repaving part.
Now, the public's been getting its say on the budget. Tell me about what you've been seeing at these public hearings that you've been covering.
Probably this is the first year that there have been five public budget hearings. Normally there's two or three. I think maybe last year there were four. This year there were five. There were hearings in Sailor Park, Roselawn, Madisonville, Mount Airy, and Price Hill. And the longer they went, the more speakers that were involved. But still, when push comes to shove, there was maybe less than 100 people that offered testimony. And most of the testimony was on, conveniently, it seemed to be two topics. One was human services funding and also money to be provided for the Clifton Market Co-op. Human services typically is talked about in all budgets. And in the past, it has been that the program was going to be cut back. And this year, they're actually asking for an increase. Council last year, I believe it was in October or November, asked that right now there's about $1.5 million for human services funding that goes through a process that's administered by the United Way. And council members had asked that it increase to $3 million and be focused on two specific areas for social services, homelessness and jobs. And when the city manager released his proposed budget, he kept it at 1.5. So it wasn't cut, but it didn't get increased to the $3 million that some majority, matter of fact, a unanimous council had asked. So most of the folks who were talking during these hearings were saying, you know, take it to the $3 million that you had originally proposed. And then on the Clifton Market, actually, that's one where I will say the public turnout, the public hearing actually made a difference. I think there were enough council members that heard the passion of the folks in Clifton who were talking about this, that even if they weren't necessarily on board to start with, after this public hearing, they came around to the fact that there is going to be some sort of support probably for that Clifton Market co-op concept.
Yeah, that's the co-op that's going to be at the old Keller IGA
Correct.
Building, right?
And they had asked for a $550,000 city loan, and the city administrators had recommended against it, saying it was too risky. But it looks like actually, it's probably going to be better for them because it's not going to be a loan. It looks like the council majority is going to support a grant of about $400,000 to the Clifton Market.
Now, the tweaking started. What kind of changes are council members recommending on the budget?
Most of it focused on those two things. As I mentioned, the Clifton Market is probably going to get a $400,000 grant from the city. There is a majority, five or six, depending on which motion you look at, to take the human services up an additional $1.5 million to the $3 million mark. There were some other additions, but when it comes right down to it, you're looking at the total all funds budget for 2016 is $1 billion, and 2017 it's $1.1 billion. Council members are proposing changes to either the operating or the capital budget, which is for projects, of about anywhere from $4.5 to $5 million. So in the grand scheme of things, there's going to be a lot of talk about these items, but they're not a lot of adjustments to a $1 billion budget when you're in the $4.5 to $5 million adjustment range.
Now, what happens next, Jay?
Well, that's a good question. Yesterday,
uncertain.
Yesterday, there was a motion released that had the support of six council members. There are nine council members, so six is a majority.
A majority, right.
Six is veto.
That's veto proof?
That's
okay.
Veto proof. And when the meeting started yesterday with budget and finance, I thought, you know, there was a lot of wrangling about whether they could even consider the motion, and Chairman Winburn was adamant that there was going to be a vote on the budget motion yesterday. Some people testified. They talked back and forth, answered to questions, and then rather quickly, he kind of wrapped up the meeting and says, no, we're going to hold this. So for some reason, he was adamant at the start of the meeting that they were going to vote on it, and then somewhere during the meeting, something changed that we know we're going to hold it. So it's going to be interesting to see if the motion that has the support of six council members is tweaked further before next week. As scheduled, they are supposed to vote on the budget next Wednesday, June the 17th. And right now, the next scheduled hearing for the committee to discuss it is Monday morning at 11:30.
Okay, so it could be pushed back, it sounds like.
My hunch is, based on body language and what I saw happening in the chamber, I think there's probably something in the budget motion that Mayor Cranley doesn't like, and Mayor Cranley got a message to Charlie Winburn to pull back. Now, Winburn wouldn't admit that, but something changed during the hearing that when you start at about 11 o'clock, we're going to vote on this, and by 1:30, no, we're going to hold it.
We're going to hang on, yeah.
Something's happened. Something changed between 11 o'clock and 1:30 to change his tune.
You have covered many, many of these budget sessions over the years. How does this compare to previous years? Has this gone a little bit more smoothly than in the past?
Actually, again, it is pretty smooth when you think about, you know, there's no $20, $30 million deficit. There were no talk of any layoffs. A few years ago, it was common that there would be talk about police layoffs, fire layoffs. This has been a pretty painless budget process. Again, there'll be some talking, there'll be some wrangling, but I think in the end, I don't know that they're going to get a budget that will be unanimous, but I could see that they're going to get a budget that gets 6-7 votes for it.
Well, thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
WVXU City Hall reporter, Jay Hanselman. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Rick Andres. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.